Legal Matters on your station of choice, ZFM Stereo.
Hello and welcome to Legal Matters. My name is Rumbi Munembe and I hope you're comfortable and excited to be here today because today we are covering marriage. So today we're going to be talking about marriage in its entirety, before, during and after I do. What should you think about before getting married? What actually makes a marriage valid in the eyes of the law? And what happens when it ends, whether by divorce or death? You know, so we'll also touch on civil unions, which is a pretty new concept that's reshaping what legal partnerships can look like outside of traditional marriage. So if you have any questions or comments along the way, do send them to us on our WhatsApp platform. The number is 0772-168-045. To help us understand and unpack this very interesting topic is the one and only Danai Daisy Chirau, an inspiring legal mind. She is a human rights lawyer, law lecturer, and feminist consultant with a strong background in legal practice, policy advocacy, and gender justice. She was named among Courtroom Mail's 100 Most Influential Women Lawyers in Africa. This is 2025. And she has played key roles in legal reform and feminist movement buildings, including Womandla, AWIDS, and Flames and Lilies Climate Initiative. So her advocacy has contributed to major reforms such as Zimbabwe's Marriages Act and the Criminal Laws Amendment Protection of Children and Young Persons. So honestly, she has done so much for her country and Africa as a whole. So it is an incredible honor to have her here today. Thank you so much, ma'am, for joining us.
Our country is
yes. We recognize your contribution.
Thank you.
All right. So, you know, I've had the privilege of listening to her lecture, so, and her passion is contagious, so we are definitely in for a treat. So, as we know, with marriage, times are changing. You know, what used to be a simple union between two people has become something far more layered and nuanced. And like everything else, the law that governs marriage has evolved to reflect a changing world. One where love meets rights and culture and meets contracts. So for centuries, marriage has been seen as sacred, but also transactional and sometimes even oppressive, especially for women. Yet within that history, the law has tried to bring balance, fairness and accountability. So what happens, you know, what should one consider before they even start talking about marriage? What should they know about marriage before they decide to go through with it?
Okay. So there's legally and then there's socially, right?
Mm. Just talk legally.
Yes, I will talk about the legal aspect, but the law does not exist in isolation. There are semi-autonomous social fields like family, like culture, like, I mean, a lot of other things, society, that influence the reasons why. So understanding the reason why you want to be married is an important thing because it means that in addition to being in a relationship with someone, you're involving the state. Oh. So now the state is in your business in a lot of ways, which means it gets to adjudicate certain behaviors, put certain limitations on your conduct, give liability, right?
Yeah.
So first of all, you should know what type of marriage you're entering into. What does that marriage entail? Is it polygamous? Is it monogamous? That kind of stuff. You must also understand how you want to do, how you want to deal with your assets, right?
Okay.
The things that you're going to acquire, and also think about the things that you already have, right? So what do you want to do with these assets? Are they going to be jointly owned? Do you want to do, you know, one person buying things in their own name? Those are important discussions for you to have after, you know, you've decided that marriage is something that you want. And also, if you're going to have children, that's an important consideration to have, even if you don't feel like having children now. I mean, I guess that's a continuous conversation, right? But also whether or not you want to have children is also a legal question.
Yes.
I think generally those are the major highlights of what you must know.
Okay. All right. So, you know, lots of people hear this marrying in community of property and out of community of property, but no one really understands what that means. So could you maybe break it down for us and what is the default position in Zimbabwe?
So who's no one? Like the law students?
No one is an exaggeration. A lot of us.
Yes. Okay. So in Zimbabwe, all marriages are out of community of property. And what out of community of property means is that whatever I buy in my name belongs to me. Whatever you buy in your name belongs to you, right? Mm-hmm. So you can do with it whatever you want. So if you're to purchase a house, for example, you can mortgage, you know, that house. You can use it as security for something. There's so many other things that you can do because you've got unfettered rights over that property. Whereas marriage in community of property, which is what happens in South Africa, is as soon as you enter the marriage contract, it means whatever you own is jointly owned, right? Mm-hmm. That is the automatic position. But in Zimbabwe, that is not the automatic position, which means that even during the marriage, you can do with that property whatever you want. But also, when I think about marriage, I don't think about marriage only as a social, I mean, as a legal thing, mm-hmm. but it is also a very social thing, right? So I don't know if you'd just want to, let's say, sell your property without talking to your partner. Yeah. Because there are case law, you know, I mean, there is case law, sorry, that really talks about some of these issues that are happening. For example, that a woman, she was the one who was actually working, but at the time that she got married to her husband, not a lot of women owned property, so I mean, naturally, well, because of the social order at the time, she decided that the house be registered in his name. He used that house as security. And then one day, she just received a notice of eviction from a bank saying she must leave that house, right? So that conversation was never had. So in as much as, yes, you've got unfettered rights to use, dispossess, dispose of, whatever you want to do with that property, I think on a social level, you must also be in consultation with your partner.
So what was the result, the aftermath? You know, you've told us this incredible story, and I imagine our listeners are already getting upset on behalf of this woman. Was there a cause?
No, not necessarily. Actually, what happened is that the court focused on the property laws of Zimbabwe. So property rights of ownership say once you're registered as the owner, you can do with the property whatever you please. They also used the fact that she was an educated woman against her to assume that by virtue of her being an academically educated person, she could evade all these other semi-autonomous social fields that I talked about, like family, like culture. You know, because at the end of the day, no matter what marriage regime, for as long as you're a black person, there's a high probability that you're an African person in an African marriage with African relationships and social dynamics. So there could have been many things that influenced her decision to register this house in her husband's name. But the court did not look at that because the law used a myopic view of trying to understand dynamics between couples, especially things that they don't or the law doesn't perceive to be gendered are often actually gendered because of the thing that I talked about, the semi autonomous social fields.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And so I think you're pointing out why it's then very important for us to actually be having this conversation. Mm-hmm. You know, you may assume, and it's not safe to assume mm-hmm. in these kind of setups. Mm-hmm. Yes, you are in love, you are in happiness, mm-hmm. but it's always good mm-hmm. to know what's going on mm-hmm. so that when these things happen, mm-hmm. it's not like a discussion with mm. courts. It's very rarely mm. a discussion where you're saying, no, you see, this is what happened. Mm. No, we had agreed. Mm. And it's unfortunate. And unfortunately, that's, you know, the law.
Yes.
And so does that mean that in Zimbabwe, you cannot marry the other one to your property?
In community of property.
Is that something you can't do? Yes, it's the default position. Mm-hmm. Or can you then say, actually, we would like to do it the other way?
Yes, you can actually request to be married in community of property, and you can do it through what is called an antenuptial contract. So generally, we know these things as prenups, right?
Okay.
Prenuptial contracts.
Mm-hmm.
So pre or ante means before. Right.
Yeah.
So these contracts must be entered into before you actually enter the marriage, right?
Okay.
So I'm going to call it an antenuptial contract because that's the official Zimbabwean legal term.
Okay.
But for the purpose of this conversation, I'm going to also refer to it as a prenup, just so that you get the understanding of what I'm actually talking about. So under whatever marriage regime, because all marriages are out of community of property, before you enter that marriage contract, so before registration, before you sign any form, you can make an agreement between you and your betrothed to decide how you're going to handle your property. If you already have properties, then you talk about those properties in that contract and who gets them in the event of death, how do you dispose of them, sell, etc. You can really, really visualize how you'd like to manage those properties, and then you can envision how you'd like to manage future properties that you will co-own or individually own. It's up to you because of the conversation that you would have had, right? But it must happen before. After the marriage, you do not have the option to enter into an antenuptial contract or a prenuptial contract, because it defeats the name and the purpose. Mm-hmm. It's supposed to happen prior to entering that marriage contract.
Okay, so you are moving in exactly the direction that we're trying to go to. You've talked about antenuptial agreements, which are also like prenuptial agreements. Mm-hmm. So in the context that most people, myself included, know about these contracts, it's more when you're trying to, I don't know how to say this, you're trying to stop someone from earning, from, you know, once the marriage is ended, from getting all your hard work. And for the most part, it's seen as to be not so nice. It doesn't look or reflect the love that you share. And so may you kindly explain to us more about that concept. Like, is it like that? Or and do you recommend that, you know, people have these kinds of things, especially when they've got larger assets and the like?
Yes, because I'm a legal person, if I am to somehow fall into the trap of marriage, I will probably enter into an antenuptial contract. Just because I can't assume that everything is always going to be okay between us, right? It's kind of like a security blanket that you put over yourself in the event of anything happen, not just divorce, but also you can talk about what would happen at death or whatever, right? So it's a safety blanket for you, because as I said before, once you enter into a marriage, you're involving the state in your affairs, right? So in as much as the state is involved, you want to have as much autonomy as possible, and that is one of the many different ways in which you can gain that kind of autonomy over what you own, over your liabilities, your shares, your assets, whatever it might be. But you know, if you didn't know this information about an antenuptial contract and you're already in a marriage, there are also alternatives that you could look into, specifically a family trust. So a family trust is similar to an antenuptial contract in that it also describes and like designs and defines how you're going to manage your property between each other. But in addition to that, you also talk about the children, right? You also talk about future assets. You also talk about future beneficiaries. And you yourself can be a beneficiary of this trust, right? So you can then decide what you want to do with your properties. And also in addition to that, that property that is embedded within the family trust cannot easily be tempered with by the state, right? So the state can't just come and say, you have to do this, that, and the other. I mean, it's protected from certain risks and loss that you might make in business, right? It's a cushion, a financial cushion, because it's also for the protection of your beneficiaries that are outside of you. So it's another way of kind of insulating yourself against all these other kinds of risks that can happen in business, in life, with the economy, things like that. But I just think that maybe we as people misunderstand the reason why certain things are, and we think it's not about someone loving you. But I don't understand how your love does not also realize that in reality there are also high divorce rates, and that there's so many things that can come about that can cause your union to end. Also that there's death that can happen. So are you saying you don't prepare for a will because it means you are about to die? You know, you prepare a will. A will is also another option that I was going to talk about, putting your things in a will, because it's out of community of property, so you still get to decide who benefits from the work that I have done at death. So a will is also a great way to protect your assets and also to decide and have some form of autonomy. And the court rarely deviates from the wishes of a deceased person through a will.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay, so what I'm understanding is that antenuptial agreements, prenuptial, they're not as dramatic as, mm-hmm. you know, we try to make them seem. It's got nothing to do with the love that you mm-hmm. share, but rather just an acknowledgement that mm-hmm. these are things, there are things that do happen in life mm-hmm. and we must be protected, mm-hmm. right? This doesn't speak to whatever you guys have intended mm-hmm. and all sorts. So it's maybe time, you know, that we start having these hard conversations mm-hmm. because I think it will definitely affect how things happen down mm-hmm. the line, especially when you avoid such conversations. Mm-hmm. So now we want to, I think we have a basic foundation and understanding mm-hmm. of marriage. Now we want to bring it into what the law provides in Zimbabwe. So mm-hmm. I understand there's civil marriages, mm-hmm. customary marriages. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, may you please just explain the differences between those.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so now in the past, right, we used to talk about muchacho kwa mujiti, right, mm. which is a registered customary law marriage now. Mm. And we used to talk about akango bvisirwa chakirai kuno, which means some acknowledgement of the intention to marry has been provided to the family, right? And then we hear that, you know, akachata, they had a church wedding. Mm. So in Zimbabwe, there are two main types of marriages.
Okay.
So the civil marriage or the general law marriage mm-hmm. is monogamous, which means that you can only have one spouse, mm-hmm. one husband, one wife yeah. within that marriage regime. Should you enter into another relationship with a third party, that can be regarded as adultery, mm-hmm. and you can actually, the person that you're cheating with is the one that the court targets, because okay. you're the one who's apparently disrespecting the union
institution, yeah.
yeah, and this institution of marriage between mm-hmm. two people. So adultery damages are often claimed by the spouse whose feelings have been hurt, who's mm-hmm. been cheated on, and they're supposed to get them from this third party. If you decide to marry someone else through this marriage regime, you're in a general law marriage, which is monogamous, that is mm-hmm. actually bigamy, and it's a crime in Zimbabwe, and it also carries a custodial sentence, which mm-hmm. means you can actually be locked up. Next thing, you're in remand just because you love Mujolo. So, mm-hmm. If this crime worked a lot of people will be in prison as well. But I think for the quality yeah. and quantity of cheating that happens in these streets, the law is not being very vigilant when it comes to bigamy in Zimbabwe. So yes, and then there's customary marriages. So customary marriages is when somebody pays lobola or does some cultural procedure or follows cultural rites, right? Yeah. And they marry someone into their family. It can be registered or unregistered. The mm-hmm. new law on marriages says all marriages should have been registered like 3 months after the enactment of the law, whatever. But at this point, there's still a lot of people who are in unregistered customary law unions. Mm-hmm. The same law says all marriages are equal before the law, right? And the constitution also talks about equality of marriages and in marriage during the subsistence of the marriage and its dissolution, right? So for all intents and purposes, or on paper, right, even if your marriage is not registered, you're still accorded the same kind of rights, you're still accorded the same kinds of legal protections that a registered marriage would be accorded, but it's more difficult to prove whether or not you're mm-hmm. actually in that kind of marriage mm-hmm. because it can be easily disputed. Whereas if your marriage is registered, which is if your customary marriage is registered, then you can just bring your marriage certificate. And how the customary law marriages, customary law marriages work in Zimbabwe is that they're polygamous in nature or potentially polygamous, okay. which means there's a probability that you could marry another wife, mm-hmm. and it's only for the men. So it's not polygynous in that women can have multiple husbands, it's polygamous in that men can have multiple wives.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do you think that's fair? This is outside of, you know, the general scope, mm-hmm. but is it fair that men can be the only ones that can have multiple spouses and women cannot?
The law does not say women cannot enter into multiple relationships. In fact, if you really look at civil partnerships, it's giving you an out, is it not? Mm. I don't know why any woman would want to bog herself down by involving the state in her multiple relationships.
Mm.
I think that's not a very wise thing. And also, I don't know many women who want to burden themselves with having multiple husbands. Maybe a husband and, you know, a small something, but not two husbands. One already enough. And the level of femicide in this country is scary. You want to have two threats to your life in the same room.
No, that's true.
Yeah.
Okay, so how would one go about registering a marriage? How do you do that? What's the process like?
Okay, so you have to go to your nearest magistrate's court, because magistrate's courts are also marriage courts. But all magistrates in Zimbabwe are marriage officers. So you go to your nearest magistrate's court, and then you register that you want to get married. You put in your intention, you pay the fee, and then you advertise. And then after that, you can get your marriage solemnized. Just because you registered at the court does not mean you need to do a court wedding. The court wedding, the wedding can be done elsewhere, for as long as the person who is bringing you together is a registered marriage officer. Although, even if someone is not a marriage registered officer, if they believe that they're a marriage officer and maybe they've done certain things but they didn't really do the correct legal thing, that can also be regarded as a marriage. The thing that I would want to warn people about especially is people who get married in churches. There are issues where sometimes the person who marries you, your bishop or your preacher, your priest, whatever, does not then go and register those names to the registrar of marriages, right? In the book or in their database, right? So what happens is that now when you want to divorce, can't find your marriage certificate, you could have lost it, something could have happened, can't divorce this person, because now they're like, the marriage never existed to begin with, but you've got assets, you've got children, you've got all these things, and you need the legal protections that come, you know, through divorce law in Zimbabwe. But it's difficult to access that, and I've definitely handled cases like that where we have to go to the archdiocese of this, that, and the other to try and excavate some priest who probably now has moved to Uganda, and you're trying to find, you know, the some kind of register to actually show that the marriage did happen. So make sure you follow up and make sure that you yourself have a record of your marriage certificate.
I think that's very important. Again, you know, just being aware of your surroundings, of yourself, just not allowing things to happen to you. I think that's a major point that we're trying to drive here on Legal Matters, that no stuff, right? Even if it doesn't seem to be important, at some point it's going to become important.
Yeah, absolutely.
So you spoke about civil unions, right? Or civil partnerships.
Yeah.
And our law has, you know, now recognizes
you're
those.
Welcome.
So can you explain those to us? What does it mean now? What does it mean to us as people? Does that mean I can actually just go and live with my significant other? And when, you know, something happens down the line, I can walk away with something. Is that what that means?
Yes. So, you know what? The law is a manifestation of reality, right? Sometimes to deter, sometimes to respond. So including civil partnership in the marriage laws was a response to the number of people who were having extramarital relationships and acquiring property in these extramarital relationships. Now the third party who's in a relationship with someone who's in a marriage now wants to get some kind of legal recourse, and the person just comes with the defense that we're not married, right? So it's now more difficult to show your stake in the procurement of the property, or what role, direct or indirect, that you played in the acquisition of such a property. So because of that, we had to respond to that. It's not to say that bigamy doesn't exist, because bigamy exists. You can literally still be charged with the crime of bigamy should you enter into a civil partnership with someone that is married. But also, civil partnerships also occur. Let's say you're in an unregistered customary law union or something like that, or you're in some kind of, not unregistered customary law union, but you know, sometimes someone just pays like Chakira Kuno, for example, mm-hmm. and you think you're in a marriage, right?
Yeah.
So you're together with this person, but legally speaking, you're not in anything.
Mm-hmm.
But you've acquired property with this person. What mm-hmm. must happen to you?
Mm-hmm.
That is a form of a civil partnership, right?
Mm-hmm.
And even if that person paid some kind of money customarily, you've got the option to choose which law you think best protects your interest. And you can just go in terms of the Matrimonial Causes Act, because mm-hmm. the Matrimonial Causes Act is a beautiful document that kind of protects people from exploitation or from regarded as having done less simply because they did not put any monetary value in the acquisition of whatever wealth that you mm-hmm. garner over the years.
Yeah.
So it will still be important. But you know what?
The goal is not your hit music
just
station.
Just because you're in a small relationship for a short period
your
of time
station.
Does not mean
it's
now
everybody's
you can
station.
Start
FM stereo.
The property mm-hmm. that this person has had mm-hmm. with their significant other in the totally different union, right?
Mm-hmm.
You have to really show cause why the court should share this property between you and that person, right?
Mm-hmm.
And now if you involve other people, that's like now you need joinder. You need those other parties to join your claim because they've got a stake too and they want to know. So it's not a chaotic situation. I don't
mm-hmm.
see the court just awarding, you know, allowing property sharing to happen in terms of the Matrimonial Causes Act for a civil partnership willy-nilly.
Mm-hmm.
You'd have to really show. So you don't have to worry so much that, you know, this side person is going to come and destroy everything that you have. The side person must show whether or not they directly mm-hmm. or indirectly contributed to the acquisition mm-hmm. of such a property or shares or whatever claim.
Okay, I think our listeners are, if not getting excited, are very nervous and are going to start actioning out lots of these things. So I'm very excited for this conversation. And I'm sure like lots of people are thinking about it. People who are not yet married, people mm-hmm. who are married are probably like, there's something that I should be doing right now.
Mm-hmm.
So thank you so much for that.
You're welcome.
I'm so sad that we have to end this conversation here because of our time, but we are definitely going to be continuing this conversation next week, Monday at 7:05 here on ZFM Stereo. My name is Rumbi Munembe, and this has been Legal Matters on ZFM Stereo, my station, your station.